The next LOS requires us to calculate the duration of a portfolio and explain the limitations of portfolio duration. There are two approaches to estimating the duration of a portfolio. The first is to calculate the weighted average number of periods until the portfolio's cash flows will be received. The second approach is to take a weighted average of the durations of the individual bonds in the portfolio. The first approach is theoretically correct, but not often used in practice. The yield measure for calculating portfolio duration with this approach is the cash flow yield, the internal rate of return of the bond portfolio. This is inconsistent with duration capturing the relationship between YTM and price. This approach will not work for a portfolio that contains bonds with embedded options, because the future cash flows are not known with certainty and depend on interest rate movements. The second approach is typically used in practice. Using the durations of individual portfolio bonds makes it possible to calculate the duration for a portfolio that contains bonds with embedded options by using their effective durations. The weights for the calculation of portfolio duration under this approach are simply the full price of each bond as a proportion of the total portfolio value using full prices. These proportions of total portfolio value are multiplied by the corresponding bond duration to get portfolio duration. One limitation of this approach is that for portfolio duration to make sense, the YTM of every bond in the portfolio must change by the same amount. Only with this assumption of a parallel shift in the yield curve is portfolio duration calculated with this approach, consistent with the idea of the percentage change in portfolio value per 1% change in YTM. We can think of the second approach as a practical approximation of the theoretically correct duration that the first approach describes. This approximation is less accurate when there is greater variation in yields among portfolio bonds, but is the same as the portfolio duration under the first approach when the yield curve is flat. For the next LOS, we are required to calculate and interpret the money duration of a bond and price value of a basis point, or PVBP. The money duration of a bond position, also called dollar duration, is expressed in currency units and is calculated as annual modified duration times the full price of a bond position. Money duration is sometimes expressed as money duration per 100 of bond par value. Multiplying the money duration of a bond times a given change in YTM as a decimal will provide the change in bond value for that change in YTM. The price value of a basis point, or PVBP, is the money change in the full price of a bond when its YTM changes by 1 basis point, or 0.01%. We can calculate the PVBP directly for a bond by calculating the average of the decrease in the full value of a bond when its YTM increases by 1 basis point, and the increase in the full value of the bond when its YTM decreases by 1 basis point. The next LOS asks us to calculate and interpret approximate convexity and distinguish between approximate and effective convexity. Earlier, we explained that modified duration is a linear approximation of the relationship between yield and price, and that because of the convexity of the true price-to-yield relation, duration-based estimates of a bond's full price for a given change in YTM will be increasingly different from actual price. Estimates of the price impact of a change in yield based only on modified duration can be improved by introducing a second term based on the bond's convexity. Convexity is a measure of the curvature of the price-to-yield relation. The more curved it is, the greater the convexity adjustment to a duration-based estimate of the change in price for a given change in YTM. A bond's convexity can be estimated as the quantity V minus plus V plus minus 2 times the current bond price divided by the quantity change in YTM squared times the current bond price. The variables are the same as those we used in calculating approximate modified duration. Effective convexity, like effective duration, must be used for bonds with embedded options. The calculation of effective convexity is the same as the calculation of approximate convexity, except that the change in the yield curve is used rather than a change in the bond's YTM. A bond's convexity is increased or decreased by the same bond characteristics that affect duration. A longer maturity, a lower coupon rate, or a lower yield to maturity will all increase convexity and vice versa. For two bonds with equal duration, the one with cash flows that are more dispersed over time will have the greater convexity. While the convexity of any option-free bond is positive, the convexity of a callable bond can be negative at low yields. This is because at low yields, the call option becomes more valuable and the call price puts an effective limit on increases in bond value. For a bond with negative convexity, the price increase from a decrease in YTM is smaller than the price decrease from an increase in YTM. A puttable bond also has less convexity. At higher yields, the put becomes more valuable, so that the value of the puttable bond falls less than that of an option-free bond as yield increases. Now, we come to an LOS asking us to estimate the percentage price change of a bond for a specified change in yield given the bond's approximate duration and convexity. By taking account of both a bond's duration and convexity, we can improve an estimate of the effects of a change in yield on a bond's value, especially for larger changes in yield. The change in a full bond price can be estimated as negative annual modified duration times the change in YTM plus 1/2 annual convexity times the squared change in YTM. For example, consider an 8% bond with a full price of $908, a YTM of 9%, annual modified duration of 9.42, and annual convexity of 68.33. We would estimate the percentage change in the full price of the bond for a 30 basis point increase in YTM as follows. The duration effect is negative 9.42 times 0.003, which equals negative 2.826%. The convexity effect is 1/2 times 68.33 times 0.003 squared, which equals 0.0307%. The expected change in bond price is negative 2.826% plus 0.0307%, which equals negative 2.7953%. Note that the convexity adjustment to the price change is the same for both an increase and a decrease in yield. The duration-only based estimate of the increase in price resulting from a decrease in yield is too low for a bond with positive convexity and is improved by a positive adjustment for convexity. The duration-only based estimate of the decrease in price resulting from an increase in yield is larger than the actual decrease, so it's also improved by a positive adjustment for convexity. The next LOS requires us to describe how the term structure of yield volatility affects the interest rate risk of a bond. The term structure of yield volatility refers to the relation between the volatility of bond yields and their times to maturity. We have seen that the sensitivity of a bond's price with respect to a given change in yield depends on its duration and convexity. From an investor's point of view, it's the volatility of a bond's price that is of concern. The volatility of a bond's price has two components: the sensitivity of the bond's price to a given change in yield, and the volatility of the bond's yield. In calculating duration and convexity, we implicitly assumed that the yield curve shifted in a parallel manner. In practice, this is often not the case. For example, changes in monetary policy may have more of an effect on short-term interest rates than on longer-term rates. It could be the case that a shorter-term bond has more price volatility than a longer-term bond with a greater duration because of the greater yield volatility of the shorter-term yield. Next, we are asked to describe the relationships among a bond's holding period return, its duration, and the investment horizon. Macaulay duration has an interesting application in matching a bond to an investor's investment horizon. When the investment horizon and the bond's Macaulay duration are matched, a parallel shift in the yield curve prior to the first coupon payment will not or will minimally affect the investor's horizon return. Earlier, we illustrated the effect of a change in yield that occurs prior to the first coupon payment. Our results showed that for an investor with a short investment horizon, the market price risk of the bond outweighs its reinvestment risk. Because of this, an increase in yield prior to the first coupon date was shown to reduce the horizon yield for a short investment horizon and increase the horizon yield for a longer-term investment horizon. For a longer investment horizon, the increase in reinvestment income from the yield increase was greater than the decrease in the sale price of the bond. For a decrease in yield, an investor with a short investment horizon will have a capital gain and only a small decrease in reinvestment income. An investor with a long horizon will be more affected by the decrease in reinvestment income and will have a horizon return that is less than the bond's original yield. When the investment horizon just matches the Macaulay duration, the effect of a change in YTM on the sale price of a bond and on reinvestment income just offset each other. We can say that for such an investment, market price risk and reinvestment risk offset each other. The difference between a bond's Macaulay duration and the bondholder's investment horizon is referred to as a duration gap. A positive duration gap, with Macaulay duration greater than the investment horizon, exposes the investor to market price risk from increasing interest rates. A negative duration gap, Macaulay duration less than the investment horizon, exposes the investor to reinvestment risk from decreasing interest rates. The final LOS for this topic review is to explain how changes in credit spread and liquidity affect yield to maturity of a bond, and how duration and convexity can be used to estimate the price effects of the changes. The benchmark yield curve's interest rates have two components, the real rate of return and expected inflation. A bond's spread to the benchmark curve also has two components, a premium for credit risk and a premium for lack of liquidity relative to the benchmark securities. Because we are treating the yields associated with each component as additive, a given increase or decrease in any of these components of yield will increase or decrease the bond's YTM by the same amount. With a direct relationship between a bond's yield spread to the benchmark yield curve and its YTM, we can estimate the impact on a bond's value of a change in spread using the formula we introduced earlier for the price effects of a given change in YTM. The estimated percentage change in bond value is negative annual modified duration times the change in spread plus 1/2 annual convexity times the squared change in spread.